Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for December 1st, 2006. This week, we're celebrating the Science Update Podcast's first birthday.
Happy! Happy birthday to you!
In this episode, Justin Warner is going to tell us whether colors are the same across cultures, and Chelsea Wald will answer a listener's question about the physics of the early universe. What's more, we're going to play some birthday wishes from our science podcasting friends and tell you how to send some wishes of your own and win a coveted Smarten Up mug. More details coming up.
Hello, I'm Caroline Williams in London.
And I'm Ivan Semenek in Boston.
And we're the hosts of SciPod, the international science podcast from New Scientist magazine.
Caroline, can it really be that the Science Update podcast is one full year old?
Apparently it can.
Wow. I remember when we had our first anniversary. Those were the days.
Actually, it was just a month ago.
Oh, yeah. You know, I still think we have some champagne left over. Hang on. Yeah, here it is right here.
Oh, look, I've got one too.
Perfect. Okay, well, now we can give you a proper toast, Science Update. So,
from all your friends at New Scientist,
on both sides of the Atlantic,
we wish you a happy anniversary.
And don't forget to tune into SciPod.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Well, if you've got kids and you don't keep them hermetically sealed, you've probably had a run-in with head lice. I sure have. In fact, 5 years ago, when my 8-year-old daughter came back from camp with them, I shaved my head to avoid them. Now, there's a lot of excitement about a new, less drastic way to control the little cooties. Chelsea has more.
Well, this is a preview of what you'll hear if you're ever treated with the Louse Buster, a new hairdryer-like device that kills head lice by drying them out with air. Its inventor, Dale Clayton, is an evolutionary biologist at the University of Utah. He says one of the major problems with available shampoo treatments is that lice quickly evolve resistance to the chemicals.
Evolving resistance to chemicals like pyrethrin is actually fairly easy for insects to do. The pathways are quite similar to those involved in DDT resistance, in fact. But how would you evolve the ability to greatly reduce the need for water? That would be very complicated. And I've talked to a lot of my insect physiologist colleagues, and they basically say, no way.
It's for this reason that he's calling the Louse Buster evolution proof. Sadly, the Louse Buster isn't yet available, and simply using a hairdryer won't work and could even be dangerous. So for now, knit combs and special shampoos are the only effective solutions.
Hi, this is Chris Kendine with the American Society for Microbiology and the Microworld Radio podcast, and I just want to wish Science Update a very happy first year birthday. Keep up the good work, guys.
NASA recently announced that it will service the Hubble Space Telescope one more time, meaning we'll have 7 more years of its stunning images. But what comes after that? All eyes are on the James Webb Space Telescope, which will have a mirror 7 times larger than Hubble's. It's designed to look at the youngest galaxies in the universe and see how planets form. Pam Sullivan, a manager for the telescope, says NASA engineers are already hard at work.
2006 is actually the big year for us in that we're trying to demonstrate all of our technologies. We've got 10 what we call enabling technologies, things that have to work, things that we have to invent, basically, for the James Webb Space Telescope to work. We're on track to finish up that this year.
If things go according to plan, the JWST will launch in 2013, just in time to take over from Hubble.
Hi, this is Kirsten from This Week in Science, and I'd like to wish Science Update a very happy birthday.
Next, getting all the cultures in the world to agree on anything may sound like an impossible diplomatic stunt, but some things are truly universal. Justin has this story.
Gertrude Stein famously said, "Rose is a rose is a rose." Now, psychologists Delwyn Lindsay and Angela Brown of The Ohio State University have proven that red is red is red. They found that speakers of 110 different languages all classify colors according to their place in the rainbow. In other words, Lindsay explains that a non-English speaker's word for red would include shades like burgundy, brick, and cherry. just like our own red.
Perhaps their sample might extend a little bit into the pinks and a little bit into the oranges, but they certainly would not, for example, have a color name that would span two entirely different categories.
He also notes that industrialized countries tend to have far more color names than indigenous cultures, and that's no accident.
In very traditional cultures in which objects within that culture could be defined on the basis or identified on the basis of a number of different kinds of features, that they would tend to use or have relatively few basic color terms. But as that culture advanced technologically, so would its capacity to make artifacts or objects that could be distinguished solely on the basis of color.
Still, even cultures with only two different color names split the spectrum down the middle into warm versus cool hues, which suggests that color distinctions arise from our brains and not our cultures.
This is Mignon Fogarty from Absolute Science. Happy birthday, Science Update Podcast!
This low, restless moan is the song of an Antarctic iceberg, sped up so humans can hear it. Northwestern University seismologist Emil Ocal and his colleagues are studying these strange ultra-low-frequency melodies with seismic microphones they've planted on the ice. Ocal says each iceberg resonates in a surprisingly specific note, which fluctuates over time.
And this creates a kind of symphony, like, you know, if you slightly adjust the length of a violin string, you're going to be able to slightly change the musical note that you play.
It's not clear where the rumbling comes from. Ocal says it may be the sound of icebergs scraping together, or the vibrations of water flowing through cracks like air through an organ pipe. He says figuring out what these songs are and understanding why an iceberg might change its tune could help scientists keep tabs on the shrinking polar ice.
Hey, this is Carrie Grenz of the Week from The Scientist. Happy birthday!
This is Stuart Wills, the host of the Science Magazine podcast, with a big happy first birthday to AAAS's Science Update podcast.
Finally, Chelsea answers a listener's question about the physics of the early universe.
Well, this is a hard one, but listener Chuck London wrote from York, Pennsylvania, to ask whether physics worked differently when the universe was young, before the first stars and certainly before the first physicists. Well, Stefan Alexander of Penn State says, yes, it's likely that the rules governing particles and forces changed soon after the Big Bang, but scientists haven't come up with a theory that goes back that far. However, he says they're hoping to find a connection between this early era and another great physics mystery, dark energy.
Dark energy could actually be a consequence of, we expect it to be a consequence of some yet unknown physics or law in the early universe.
And of course, if you're mystified by a science question, call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT or submit it at scienceupdate.com. If we use it in the podcast, you'll win a Science Update mug.
Hi, this is Aaron Price from the Slack Astronomy Podcast, and I'd like to congratulate the hardworking Science Update staff on a wonderful year. Happy birthday.
And if you want to win a Science Update mug but can't think of a question, you can win one this week only by sending us a birthday wish. Call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT and leave your brief birthday message along with your name and where you live. Like, hey, this is Julie from Poughkeepsie, New York, and I just want to say happy birthday, but something more creative than that. Then leave your address, which of course we will not put on the podcast. We'll include as many birthday wishes as we can in our next episode, and the first five well-wishers will get Science Update mugs.
Happy, happy love. You've been sent from up above.
And a very emphatic thank you to all our podcasting friends for sending birthday shout-outs. If you'd like to know more about any of these podcasters, you can find links to them on scienceupdate.com/podcast.php right on our website. The happy birthday song in this episode comes from artist Cramo, whose song we found at the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Please check him out. Next time, we'll talk about why malaria parasites are regaining susceptibility to an old drug that's been all but abandoned, and answer a listener's question about why more things aren't dimpled like golf balls. In the meantime, don't forget to come visit us at scienceupdate.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.